online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show in progress. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is March 21st of 2023. Like usual, got a jam-packed show to get to. Details forthcoming. Hope you're having a great day, and however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. I appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColBear, and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650thefan. You'll find us there on the Zuck Machine. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure you bookmark the website as well. It's not only where you get the podcast of this show. Waterloo Blackhawk Minutes on Demand are there. All sorts of local and statewide sports content. There's local news there. Radio Iowa News and Sports. It's a really nice one-stop shop for local and statewide news and sports, and even a little beyond that as well. So not just saying it for my health. I genuinely think it's a worthwhile bookmark on your web browser, on your phone browser, 1650thefan.com. If you want to join in today, dial up the show with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918. Save it in your phone, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up on the show, like usual, we'll get it started with area sports news and scores here in just a little bit. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VEASAN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this beautiful Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back from that first timeout, and our friend David Eicholt from HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network is scheduled to join us. You follow David on Twitter, or at least you should be, at David Eicholt. We got a lot to talk about. Haven't caught up with David since the Iowa men fell short in the first round of the NCAA basketball tournament to Auburn that last Thursday. The Iowa women have a couple NCAA tournament wins to their credit. They're playing in the Sweet 16 this Friday. Details on that to come. And the Iowa football program has held its pro day. And spring practices are what's up next for Kirk Ferentz's Hawkeyes. So a lot to get into with David. We'll probably keep him a little longer than usual today. And after we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. And on the other side of that break, I've got some audio from UNI softball coach Ryan Jacobs. I think the Panthers, 14-9 now, I want to say, ran into some tough competition in their out-of-conference schedule. But they're off to a hot start in the Missouri Valley and living up to the billing of being the preseason favorite in the poll. So I think this is going to be a fun team to follow this spring. And we'll do the same with Iowa State softball, which obviously has had some great seasons recently, just like the Panthers have. It's that time of the year. And so we'll get to that in the third segment today on the show. After we're done there, of course, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Tuesday edition of the show. All right, so in today's edition of the what I'm going to affectionately, or I shouldn't say affectionately, call the Scumbag Times or the Scumbag Sentinel, you know, a little play on words there. In today's Scumbag Sentinel, we have Rick Pitino. Yeah, Rick Pitino introduced at St. John's today. If you have not heard, he left Iona, and enough stink has apparently worn off of Rick Pitino that he was able to land the job at St. John's today. And boy, did Rick come out hot a lot of the baggage came up, as you might imagine. New York media market and Pitino's time going all the way back to the 70s at Hawaii was marred by sanctions. He was implicated in 8 of 64 infractions that led to the Rainbow Warriors team probation. Dismissed the report in 89, said, quote, he didn't make any mistakes and didn't care what anybody says. And Rick Pitino, even to this day, in case you were wondering, at the presser today, still lives in his own reality. While at Louisville, the school self-imposed a postseason ban that stemmed from the sex scandal involving recruits from 2010 to 14. The NCAA charged him with failure to monitor his program, and he was suspended for the first five ACC games of the 2017-18 season. Pitino, if you remember, called the suspension, quote, unjust and, quote, over-the-top severe. The Cardinals' 2013 national title and 2012 Final Four appearance were vacated as a result of the infractions. He was then fired by Louisville in 2017 after the FBI opened an investigation into fraud and corruption within the sport. Allegations against the program included payments of $100,000 to the family of a recruit, but it went much deeper, of course, as we know now, across college basketball. Nearly 2 years after his dismissal from Louisville, Pitino settled with the university. Innocent people, they settle all the time. And dropped his $38.7 million lawsuit against the school. As a result, his termination was changed from a firing to a resignation. Pitino continues to deny any knowledge of pay for play or wrongdoings, but he has accepted failure as a leader. Following his introduction at Madison Square Garden today, Rick Pitino joined Sage Steele on SportsCenter. Among other topics, the 70-year-old spoke about his controversial past. Here are the money quotes from Rick Pitino today, a man that in his mind has always been clean as a whistle. Here are the quotes. Rick Pitino, quote, one thing I can tell you is I've made my mistakes, but I've always run a clean program. Insert laugh track here. This is ridiculous. All right, back to the quotes. I got cited for violations of failure to monitor my assistant coaches, but nowhere along the way did the NCAA ever find any wrongdoing on my part. I've never cheated in the game. I have too much respect for the game to do that. I believe in hard work. I believe in the strong work ethic second to none, and it's not about believing me, because that's irrelevant. Some people will, some people won't. I think you know which category I fall in. Continuing with more Pitino quotes. Quote, I've never cheated the game. I've never cheated in the game. You can't vacate a national championship. Look, you can take a banner down. You can't vacate. You can't change history. We won the national championship. We didn't cheat to win the game. We didn't pay players. We didn't do any of that. Things were done wrong by certain people, and that's something I'm not proud of that happened, end quote. I mean, I wonder what it's like to live in La La Land. This guy says he's always run a clean program. Multiple times makes it clear. I've never cheated in the game. I've always run a clean program. And then he just throws everybody else under the bus. Like, why should I have to be responsible for this? It's not like I was the head coach or anything. Oh, wait, you were. And that's like way too much time to give that scumbag on this show. And I knew, I was telling a couple friends of mine, I said, you wait. He's done a good enough job at Iona. And enough time passes by, the stink's going to wear off just enough that a program just desperate enough is going to go, I think we can do this. I think we can push the Rick Pitino button. And from a PR perspective, it's not going to be rainbows and lollipops, but we'll be able to make it work. And St. John's is doing that, and you watch. Especially now in this era of college basketball, I have a feeling St. John's is going to be better sooner rather than later. That's enough time for that scumbag Rick Pitino on this program. Moving on. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Tuesday. The Waterloo Blackhawks' Emmett Crotto has been named the USHL Goaltender of the Week. Crotto was in the crease for a pair of Blackhawks victories last weekend, stopping 79 of 82 shots. Last Thursday in a 3-2 shootout win at Fargo, he made a career-high 42 saves last seven stops, came in overtime, and then he turned away two of Fargo's three shootout attempts. Kratto's current goals against average of 2.52 is fourth best in the USHL. Save percentage of .915 is third best. The Iowa baseball team is in action right now. The Hawkeyes are taking on Grandview. First pitch was at 4. Iowa is 5-0 at Duane Banks Field this year, 15-3 overall. The Iowa wrestling team continues to stockpile talent. Anthony Ferrari from Oklahoma has committed to Iowa. The future Hawkeye made his announcement where else on social media. He's projected at 157 or 165 pounds. He's the younger brother of Oklahoma State's A.J. Ferrari, who was a NCAA champion as a freshman in 2021. Anthony originally committed to Oklahoma State but did not enroll there. It's being reported that former Iowa City West Prep and Belmont center Evan Bronze is transferring to Iowa. Bronze is a 6'9", 240-pound center who has spent the past three seasons with the Bruins. This season, his first as a starter, he averaged 7 points and 5 rebounds in 21 minutes per game, shooting 58% from the floor. Bronze has not publicly announced the transfer. According to sources, though, he has informed teammates of his departure. He would join the Hawkeyes with 2 years of eligibility remaining. And if you recall, he was a former teammate at Iowa City West of current Hawkeye Patrick McCaffrey. Iowa's Caitlin Clark has been named as one of four finalists for the Naismith Player of the Year, given to the most outstanding player in women's basketball. The other finalists include last year's winner, which shouldn't have happened, Aaliyah Boston of South Carolina, along with Elizabeth Kitley of Virginia Tech and Maddie Segrist from Villanova. Caitlin Clark ranks in the top five nationally in 12 statistical categories. She's averaging 27 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds per game. She was named Big Ten Player of the Year and is a first-team AP All-American. The Naismith Trophy for the Women's Player of the Year will be awarded next week on Wednesday, March 29th, during the Women's Final Four. The Women's Basketball Coaches Association has named Iowa's Jan Jensen as the 2023 Division I Assistant Coach of the Year. It's the 23rd season for Jensen on the Iowa sideline, and she has helped guide the Hawks to 17 NCAA tournament appearances, 4 Big Ten tournament titles, and 2 Big Ten regular season titles. She serves as recruiting coordinator and also works with the Hawks post players. Under her tutelage, 9 Hawkeyes have claimed a total of 21 All-Big Ten honors, including 8 first-team selections. Of course, that also includes Megan Gustafson, the first consensus National Player of the Year in Big Ten history. She was also an integral part of recruiting Hawkeye star Caitlin Clark. And those Iowa women now know who they will face in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. The Hawkeyes take on Colorado this Friday evening at 6:30 in Seattle. Last night, Colorado got past Duke in overtime, 61-53. Iowa enters the game 28-6, Colorado 25-8. Iowa State women's basketball player Maggie Epson-Miller-McGraw has entered the transfer portal. She's been with the Cyclones for 4 years and would have 1 year of eligibility remaining. She played in a limited role this past season, averaging just 1.7 points per game, but she did make the Big 12 All-Freshman team during the 2019-20 season, but her playing time has been limited over the past few years due to injury. UNI basketball forward Cynthia Wolf has been selected as one of 12 Missouri Valley Conference recipients of the State Farm Good Neighbor Award. The student-athlete, to be eligible, must be in good academic standing, be involved in the community, and participate in a sport. Wolf, a senior from Cedar Falls, is currently studying biology and gerontology at UNI, maintaining a 3.98 grade point average. She volunteers with several organizations in the Cedar Valley, including the Northeast Iowa Food Bank and local middle schools. She played in 28 of UNI's games this season before suffering a season-ending knee injury, helping the Panthers secure a third-place finish in the Valley and their berth to the Women's National Invitational Tournament. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way on the other side. We talk Iowa men's and women's basketball and Iowa football spring practices. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us next right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports.
Sports Flash.
Willis Reed, the captain of the Knicks, who was the MVP of both championship series they won, has died at the age of 80. His heroic effort to play the deciding game of the 1970 NBA Finals, despite a torn thigh, will forever be remembered. The Lakers were stunned when Reed limped onto the court and he proceeded to hit his first two jump shots. The Knicks never looked back. He was a seven-time All-Star in his 10-year career and named one of the NBA's 50 greatest players. St. John's hasn't won a tournament game in 23 years. They're hoping a Hall of Fame coach can revitalize a once-proud program. Rick Pitino introduced today. After coming out of coaching exile 3 years ago and leading Iona to a pair of tourney appearances, he now tries to do the same at St. John's.
The first thing you have to do is you have to build a culture, not only a culture of great basketball, exciting basketball, but a culture of academic excellence, a culture of treating everybody with great respect, a work ethic second to none, giving every ounce of perspiration you have in you for the name on the front, St. John's.
Iona moved quickly to replace Pitino, naming Tobin Anderson the new coach of the Gales.
Hey, David, you copy?
FDU's upset of Purdue on Friday. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Coming up later on the Zach Gelb Show, tune in to see if Hot Take Hickey will take his shirt off like Eric Musselman.
All right, 2.5.
We'll have Isaiah Wong and Scott Drew stopping by. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. CBS Sports
Radio. Listen to Chicago Cubs baseball right here on 102.3 and 1650 The Fan.
Did you know there's a place where you can get good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates on home and auto insurance? Yep, here's the deal. This is State Farm agent Brad Jacobson, and I am your go-to agent in Cedar Falls for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop shopping around. Call me, Brad Jacobson, at 319-277-4134 for your surprisingly great rates today. 319-277-4134. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Waterloo Schools, we believe in bold ideas, bold goals, bold ambitions, and taking bold steps to help our students achieve their dreams. This month, we're celebrating some major achievements in winter sports and extracurriculars, like Waterloo West's Hallie Polk just broke the Wahawk all-time scoring record and reached the 2,000-point milestone. Then, at the Tall Corn Jazz Festival, Waterloo West and East performed masterfully, with East's Braden Peterson and Blazin' Barbie McLemore bringing home the Outstanding Soloist Award for their performances. And our student athletes from East and West made it to state in wrestling, and our girls and boys bowling teams made it to the state bowling tournament as well. We're celebrating these wins and more as we make our way through the championship season for our winter sports. But it all starts in the classroom, where at Waterloo Schools, we inspire students to go beyond doubt and fear, to persevere and be bold. Join us at waterlooschools.org.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's betting splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Cubs are even money today in Cactus League action at the Royals. The Royals are the $1.20 favorite. White Sox plus 120 and the Brewers minus 140. In the Grapefruit League, it's the Cardinals laying $1.85 against the Nationals, plus 165. World Baseball Classic finale today, Lone Depot Park in Miami. United States minus 115 against Japan, minus 105, 10 flat the total. NASCAR Cup Series, Echo Park, Texas Grand Prix of the Circuit of the Americas. Kyle Larson, the plus 650 favorite. Ross Chastain and Kyle Busch are both 8-1. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows level off around 40, southerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast tomorrow, chance for scattered showers, highs level off around 54. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night, lows around 32. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday, with highs in the low 40s, cloudy Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 56.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. We're joined now by David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. And we got a lot to catch up on with David, as we haven't talked since the Iowa men fell short to Auburn in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Iowa women punched their ticket to the Sweet 16. And don't look now, spring practices are starting for Iowa State, UNI football. So a lot to get to with David. David, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, Cole, how you doing? It's good to be talking to you. Lots going on, man.
Yeah, it's a pocket of the sports calendar that I really like. I know that spring football is what it is. There's only so much to take from it, but you know, to be able to kind of scratch that itch that I think I can speak for most anybody who's a football fan this time of the year, I enjoy that. But let's talk hoop, man. Let's talk about the Iowa men's basketball team that. I think we had kind of collectively tabbed them as consistently inconsistent as our conversations wore on throughout the season. And just like usual, you can call it as usual as it is inconsistent. The shooting woes showed up down there in Alabama, and they fall short to Auburn. I mean, just we can't say we were shocked about the way this one played out for sure, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a coin flip from the start. Auburn, who was shooting 31% from three on the year, got hot. Iowa, I don't think, closed out very well. Iowa's defense really let them down. And Auburn made free throws down the stretch, and it really is incredible. I think they made their final 13 free throws against Iowa, and then they shot about, 40% in the second round against Houston. Couldn't buy any of them, but, you know, Iowa was what they were. I think they were a really fun team to watch. I think there was a different gear to them when they got down big. And if they could have found a way to have that gear on when they were quote unquote in the game or ahead, I think they could have potentially reached their potential. But I think they didn't have consistent guard play to carry them down the stretch.
Yeah.
Iowa's defense let them down. I think the rebounding is okay. I think Philip Abracha earned a lot of respect this year. I think Connor tried to do what he could, but ultimately the team just did not have enough playmakers in the backcourt to get to that second weekend in March in this season, just even get to that second game. And Auburn's defense held Iowa to 75 points, and I'll say held. I mean, Chris Murray was 5 of 18. Mm-hmm. Peyton Sanford didn't get hot till late. I mean, Iowa's best offense, Cole, was when they gave the ball to Chris Murray and Peyton Sanford and said, shoot whenever you want from three-point range. Yeah. That's how they cut the lead from 17 to 4. So they are who we thought they were. I think this is going to be one of the more critical off seasons in the Fran McCaffrey era, and I'm really, really eager to see what kind of moves he's going to make.
Well, there's already one reported move, unofficial, unless perhaps you've got enough to confirm it. Evan Bronze, the former Iowa City West prep, who was a teammate of Patrick McCaffrey's at Iowa City West, and I had heard something about this a couple weeks ago, being a guy who reports in the Missouri Valley, that he was going to head from Belmont to Iowa. Now, that doesn't necessarily address the, you know, the lack of talented guard play that you just pointed out on this roster, but what can you tell us about those reports, and what do you make of this fit?
Yeah, we hinted to this to our VIP subs about 2 weeks ago that we'd been hearing that this is going to happen. Sean Bach, I believe, fired a crystal ball in about 10 days ago. And, you know, a lot of people have been critical about it, but I think this is what people need to take it for what it's worth. I don't think he's coming in to be a starter. If he does commit to Iowa, there's been nothing official. So I want to make sure that's out there. Evan has not announced a commitment anywhere. He is still officially in the portal. So I want to make sure that's clear. It's not official until he announces it. But it is expected that that's going to happen. But look, Evan, I think you take a guy that's averaging 8-6, 7-5, 7-6. He's an energy guy, not a big back-to-basket guy, but he's an energetic rebounder. He can make some things happen on a defensive end, and I think he provides you more quality at that 4-5 spot than mm-hmm. Iowa currently has. I think he's proven more at the Division I level than Joshua Gundele, than Riley Mulvey. And remember, Philip Abracha is not with the team anymore. So Iowa desperately needs a couple of big men. I don't think they need one. I think they need at least two. So if you get Evan Bronze to be a depth piece, I think this is a really good pickup. For Fran, again, this is not going to be a guy you run your offense through. He's going to be a guy that crashes the glass on both ends of the floor, is a decent back-to-basket post defender, and can do some different things I don't think Iowa bigs have had in the past couple of years, with all due respect to Philip Abracha and Luka Garza.
What might this say about the likelihood or, you know, unlikely event that a Josh Ogunle, a Riley Mulvey, maybe even like an Aaron Ulis could perhaps all hit the portal?
You know, I always take the philosophy of I don't like speculating on who's going to transfer. I don't think it's fair to the players. I don't think it's fair to the coaches and the team. But what I will say is I will be surprised if there's not a decent overhaul of the roster. I'm a little bit hesitant to say this.
Sure.
But given the way that the college athletics today works and what we've seen, if there's an entirely new starting five next season, it would not be the most surprising thing in the world to me.
It's interesting, for sure. And let's go ahead with the time we have left and start talking Iowa women's basketball. They had to earn it on Sunday against a good Georgia team that, you know, you watch that game, you're like, man, for a 10 seed, they really got some skills here. But, you know, then they kind of had to muck it up again there at the end and kind of, you know, checked out on the sportsmanship side of things. But I wanted to make both points where it's like the Iowa women had to play a good game. It's good to see they were able to play in a game like that and come out on top. But then again, tip your cap to Georgia, but also don't, because it's like, dude, hey, bro, what's going on there?
The dogs have that dog in them. I mean, their defense was awesome, man. I think you need to give them a lot of credit. I thought they were pest defensively. They forced 17 Iowa turnovers, which is something that doesn't happen very often. And, you know, apparently Caitlin Clark wasn't the best player on the floor, according to the Georgia coach. I don't know what game she was watching, but Caitlin finished with 22-12-3 and 90% from the free throw line and 40% from three, which shows the ridiculous expectations that she has. But you need to give Caitlin a lot of credit for this game, Cole. 31 of 33 second half points she was responsible for, scored or assisted on. But the thing that was most impressive about her performance, when her shot wasn't falling, I don't know how much of it you watched, but when her shot wasn't falling,
yeah,
she looked for teammates. She put on a passing clinic, and that's what really put them over the hump. She adjusted to the game, and then when the game was on the line, when they needed to make it a two-possession game, she said, I'm taking it myself. And she went out and made a National Player of the Year caliber play. And I think this team's potential is really starting to get unlocked. By the way, with Stanford losing, with Duke losing, there is an expectation for this team to go to the Final Four now.
Yeah.
Iowa is the odds-on favorite, and I think they should be expected to go to the Final Four. And I think this team is a team that's going to welcome that pressure. But Gabby Marshall, I mean, I don't think people are going to forget her name anytime soon. She has been absolutely spectacular for the past month and a half. I think she's been the key to this entire postseason run.
Agree.
NCAA, Big Ten, hits five threes against Georgia, shooting 59% from three-point range in the postseason, Big Ten tournament and NCAA. If she's shooting like that, she's playing with confidence, her defense has been fantastic. They can't afford a double or triple team Caitlin Clark, because if you're going to leave Gabby Marshall open the corner, the team's already going to start running back on defense, because odds are she's going to make the basket.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be overstated just how important her surge here at the end of the season has been. And great point about, you know, with who's out of the tournament now, the expectations should be there. And like, they're going to be welcomed, I would imagine. I'd be shocked if they're not you know, just got their eyes on. Not that they're looking ahead, but just understanding the circumstances that are at their feet right now. What do we know about Hannah Stolke for Friday night's Sweet 16 game against Colorado? She sat out of that win against Georgia with an ankle.
Yeah, so quick last point about that. I think the team has those expectations for themselves, Cole, and I think that's the most important thing. They enter the tournament with those expectations. So there's nothing new being placed on them. But yeah, you know, talking to some people behind the scenes, I fully expect Hannah Stolke to be a go. Lisa Bluter made a point that she'd be surprised if she didn't play. They maybe could have played her in the second round against Georgia, but there's no sense in forcing it. She was still limping a little. Crazy accident. She got hurt in the final 3 minutes of practice the night before the Georgia game. Just super unlucky. Molly Davis, there's nothing official. I think Molly Davis will be good to go. And I think those are two very, very important depth pieces, because you cannot have Iowa stars playing 38 to 40 minutes night in, night out, especially if they get in foul trouble. So Hannah Stolke, by the way, I truly believe would have shined in that game against Georgia. That's a game where I think she puts up 15-7, 15-8. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like that sort of scrappiness and edginess and athleticism that she brings, I think it really would have paid dividends. So I think it's good updates on that front. But I'll tell you, man, like, they are the favorite, but Colorado looked like a dangerous team. And Ole Miss, people need to not sleep on Ole Miss. Ole Miss took South Carolina to the wire a month ago. went into overtime with them, fell short, and they beat Stanford. And they have a very, very similar defense to Georgia. They are very aggressive, force a lot of turnovers.
Tough regional pod, for sure. All right. Hey, in the time we have left, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow David on Twitter, at David Eicholt. Bookmark the website. Sign up, HawkeyeInsider.com. Spring football, like I was talking right there at the top. It's just like when you're like, man, I could just use a little college football in my life. I don't need it all the way back, but I need a little something. And here we go, man. Pro days are happening. Next thing that comes after that are spring practices. Let's start with the pro day. We've talked quite a bit, and we'll talk more as we get closer to the NFL draft about the Hawkeye prospects. But pro days are kind of pro days. You know, you're weighed, you're measured, you do the drills. Was any Hawkeye able to help themselves in a way, David, that went past what we already talked about, which, you know, a number of them went to the NFL Combine and did really well for themselves?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I would say I don't think anybody hurt themselves. And I think that's the more important question. The reason why I phrase it like that is because, as you mentioned, I think Iowa players perform spectacular in the NFL Combine, talking to people behind the scenes. Obviously, it being written about by numerous outlets. Sam Laporta is one of the more surprising tight ends to people. Jack Campbell, I truly believe, could be a late first round, early second round pick based on who I've talked to. I think he could be the number one linebacker in the draft class, because I think people are finally starting to realize, okay, he's not just some Midwest guy, Midwest boy that played in the Big Ten and put up big numbers. He's actually a freak athlete. So, you know, I don't know if it necessarily helped anybody, but I don't think it hurt anybody. I think if it did help anybody else, I think it's Kayvon Merriweather. I think Kayvon Merriweather, who I think people are a little bit surprised he didn't come back to some degree, but obviously given his age and limited, I don't want to say limited upside, but remember, he didn't start playing football until his senior year of high school. So I think that's something worth noting. I think Kayvon Merriweather can go as high as the third round. And I think that's, when you look at his career and how it unfolded, I think that'd be a spectacular spot for him to go. And I think Riley Moss could still go as high as the third or fourth round as well. So I think Iowa guys have done very well, and I'm very intrigued to see where they go. And according to The Athletic, they have the Green Bay Packers selecting Sam Laporta, Jack Campbell, and Lucas Van Ness, which would just be fantastic, Cole.
that would really be something to see, you know, a non-Alabama or Georgia school have that happen with their prospects, and who better than Iowa? And I, you know what, I'd rather not see that, because I think the Packers would probably be getting three pretty good players right there. You know, you mentioned Jack Campbell again as a possible late first rounder. I heard what I thought was a pretty logical fit, given Tremaine Edmonds signed a free agent contract with my Bears, that the Bills could be in on Jack Campbell at 27 overall.
That's something I have heard from him as well, and that's why I thought the late first-round pick would make a lot of sense. He'd be reunited with A.J. Epinesa up there. I think that'd be a spot he'd be welcomed in. And I would like him much better in Buffalo than Las Vegas, because I think he'll actually have a shot at winning something, and there'll actually be attention and proper respect paid to him instead of a supermodel below average quarterback that just signed with the Raiders. But no, man, like, I think Jack Campbell's opening a lot of eyes.
Wait, so, hold on. Wait, what elicited this assault on Jimmy Garoppolo?
Hey, man, I'm a little bit salty about it, because I think George Kittle's numbers could be like Travis Kelce if he actually had a decent quarterback.
Yeah, okay. I was like, wow, I don't think we had ever talked about Jimmy before, and then you just, like, you pulled your bazooka out on the guy. It's like, I don't necessarily disagree, but damn.
Cole, we know, I know I'm a very, you know, rational guy who keeps a lot of his takes to himself. I just feel like I'm loading it for once.
Hey, you know, this is the platform to get those things out. So, you know, respect to you. Last thing real quick, as you grab your notebook and you go to the spring practices that the media is allowed into for Iowa football, what's going to be two, maybe three things that David Eicholt's going to be watching with a keen eye?
Yeah, I think number one, I'm going to look at the offensive line. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to Cade McNamara, Iowa's new quarterback, but I'm just very intrigued about how healthy he's going to be. He believes he's going to participate in team activities. He says he's feeling good, but I bet Iowa errs on the cautious side of things. So Iowa's offensive line is first and foremost. Can Logan Jones take that next step? Can Dijon Parker, Iowa's new offensive tackle, fit in seamlessly? And how are the Iowa receivers going to step up? Obviously, Iowa's receivers, They're without Arlen Bruce. They're without Keegan Johnson this year. Who's going to really take that next step up? Because I think Iowa is very well set at tight end with Luke Laporta, Luke Lachey,
yep,
and Eric All, the former Michigan guy. And on defense, look, I think they returned 48% of their starting production. But I believe, here's my early hot take, Cole. I think this next season's defense as a whole is going to be better than this past season that we just saw. With Cooper DeJean, Xavier Wampa, Jamari Harris, and Nick Jackson, the Virginia transfer, I think Phil Parker is very, very pleased with what he has to work with.
No surprise that the first three things you listed were all related to the offense. And I'll leave you with this, David. On the 2023-24 Iowa football roster online, Spencer Petras is still there.
He is. He is. Cade McNamara has given him a lot of crap for teaching him the playbook, and it was expected that Spencer was going to stay. I think he's going to go through pro day next year, but he's going to be a straight-up consultant and help mentor Cade McNamara transitioning into Iowa's offense. So I think you need to give Spencer an A-plus in the leadership category, which he's always had. Well, I think he's going to be a welcomed addition to the locker room this year. But again, he's going to be out all season.
Okay. And is he like maybe pursuing like a graduate degree or something to stick around for? Do you know? Or
I don't know that. That'll probably be something I ask once spring gets underway. I'm going to request to speak with Spencer Petras. But after everything, I'm not going to be surprised if he's not interested. And I'm not going to blame him whatsoever.
Yeah. All right. Hey, good stuff, man. Thanks for staying on a little longer than usual. And we'll catch up again soon.
Always happy to stay on, Cole. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate you. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. Kind enough to join us. Stay a little long today. A lot of ground to cover as we had not caught up since the Iowa men's and women's basketball teams got it going in their respective NCAA tournaments. And then, of course, Iowa football pro day yesterday, spring practices. So if you're just joining the show, podcast will be available in a little over 20 minutes time at 1650thefan.com. Great stuff with David Eicholt today. Visit the website, subscribe. They do great work there. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. We'll come back on the other side, and the UNI softball team got off to a picture-perfect start in Missouri Valley Conference play this past weekend. We'll hear some audio from Coach Ryan Jacobs on the Panthers, who were the preseason pick in the Missouri Valley. That's next right here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Northern Iowa football coach Mark Farley says the Panthers are deeper heading into spring drills than they've been since prior to COVID. UNI is coming off a 6-5 season that saw them get left out of the FCS playoffs.
Where's our depth? Where's our talent? And play to the strength of the talent on offense, defense, and special teams. So we'll weigh that out within the first 2 or 3 weeks, and that'll kind of gear us towards what we will be most apt to play come the fall, based off what shines through in these first 3 weeks of spring ball.
To basketball, the third-ranked Iowa Hawkeye women will play Colorado Friday night in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament in Seattle. Colorado outscored Duke 11-3 in overtime last night in a 61-53 victory. Tip time for Friday's game has been set for 6:30 Iowa time. The other regional semifinal pits Ole Miss against Louisville. This is Radio Iowa.
The first 3 years of every child's life are critical. Learn more about early intervention. How your baby or toddler plays, learns, talks, acts, and moves give important clues as to how they are developing. If you have any questions or concerns about whether your baby or toddler's development is on track, please call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229. Call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful when Mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. I wanted a better relationship with Dad, so I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Alateen. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Does it run? Does it drive? Great. We'll give you $3,500 guaranteed trade on your next purchase at Community Chevrolet Cadillac in Cedar Falls. Hi, I'm Luke Schmidt, General Manager at Community Chevrolet Cadillac, and we've got a great selection for your $3,500 trade. Whether it's new or pre-owned, we've got a full lot ready to find a new home. So if it runs and drives, bring it on over and we'll give you $3,500 trade-in. Simple, straightforward deals guaranteed at Community Chevrolet Cadillac in Cedar Falls.
Deal ends March 31st. See dealer for complete details.
This is Heather Zychek from the W. Sign up now for the 12th annual Tri-By-Night Triathlon at Wartburg College in Waverly. Take part Saturday, May 6th in a 300-yard indoor swim, 15-mile bike ride, and a 3.1-mile run. Go to the-w.org to register or for more information. Push yourself and take part in the 12th annual Tri-By-Night Triathlon, May 6th at Wartburg College.
Brought to you by Thompson Shoes, the W, Taylor Physical Therapy, and 93.5 The Mix.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. Attention all parents in Cedar Falls whose children will be in the class of 2036. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th in order to attend kindergarten in the 2023-24 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student. The principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed kindergarten registration forms are required for all incoming students and must be turned in by March 30th. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. Visit cfschools.org.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
The Rotary Club of the Cedar Valley is hosting a free Veterans Dinner Wednesday, March 22nd, beginning at 5:30 at the American Legion Post 138 in Waterloo. All veterans are invited. In addition to soup, hot sandwiches, and dessert, enjoy camaraderie and live music from Beauty and the Beat. That's Wednesday, March 22nd, 5:30 to 7 at the American Legion on the corner of 6th and Commercial, downtown Waterloo. Veterans are free. A free will donation will be accepted for veterans guests. Find Rotary Club of the Cedar Valley on Facebook for details.
Cole & Company with Cole Bear. Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM. Brass Monkey! That
Monkey Monkey! Yeah, welcome back. A Tuesday edition of the show continues. The debut of 2023 Chicago Cubs baseball is tonight here on The Fan. Of course, spring training action. One of two spring training games we will bring you before next Thursday's. Yes, next Thursday's opening day, as the Cubs will be playing host is what at what I'm sure will be a 80-degree and sunny Wrigley Field. Great thinking on that one, MLB schedule makers. But nonetheless, let's hope the weather cooperates. And the Cubs will host the Brewers for opening day a week from this Thursday on March 30th. And coverage will begin of that one at 12:45. But tonight, if you want to listen to Cubs baseball here on The Fan, they are taking on the Kansas City Royals in a spring training contest. 7:55 airtime for that pregame and an 8:05 first pitch. I should probably look up. I'll get you before we're done here who's going to be the starting pitcher for the Cubs tonight, for whatever that's worth. It very well, there's a competition going on for the fifth starter job, so there is a little bit of drama, and there's some good storylines if you follow close like I do, and like I know so many of you do with the Cubs. But right now we're talking softball, as the UNI softball team opened Missouri Valley Conference play this past weekend with a three-game sweep of Murray State, despite the sweep of the Racers, which included the Panthers outscoring them 24-1 throughout the weekend. UNI coach Ryan Jacobs sees the conference race in the Valley being competitive this spring.
We're in store for a good Valley conference season this year. I mean, it's already shaken up to be very competitive. Just getting a look at Murray State this last weekend and seeing what they have. And obviously on the scoreboard, we were able to come out ahead in all three of those games, but they have some really good pitchers that I felt like our team did a really good job of making adjustments. And, you know, the results were coming from different people all throughout the game. It wasn't just like we had to wait for one or two people to get up and do our damage. Like, we had some kids that were stepping up in different roles and things like that. And so I think that helped us overcome some of the ability level that their pitchers have. They were really good, and I know their hitters. Coach Gilland used to be an assistant coach here, and she does a really good job with their hitters. So I know they're going to win a ton of games this year in the league, and they just need to kind of get an understanding of what it's like every single day in and day out in the Valley, and what they're going to face. But they're going to do a great job. So I think it's shaping up to be a really competitive season this year in the league.
UNI pitchers Kaylin Packard and Samantha Heyer tossed 20 and two-third innings in the three wins that came with just one earned run and 33 strikeouts, highlighted by a complete game, 13 strikeout, one hitter by Heyer in game two of that three-game set. Here's Coach Jacobs on the Panther pitchers.
Like I said, this last weekend, really happy with us offensively. We really did a good job of overcoming some things. But when your pitchers do what they did this weekend, it's pretty easy to go through it and feel like you did a great job offensively, but they kind of gave us an unlimited time clock to do what we needed to do to win a game. So they kept Murray State from scoring runs and just allowed us the opportunity without pressure of trying to come back or do anything like that to just kind of do our thing offensively, and that's nice.
Heyer won her second MVC Pitcher of the Week award this season. It was announced this afternoon. She has a 2.42 ERA in 72 and a third innings pitched this season. And I asked Coach Jacobs, can you go into detail about how Heyer, a Charles City native, has been able to develop into such a top-level pitcher?
Well, she's got such a calm personality and a calm demeanor, and really – I think the joy in that whole scenario, just watching her compete at that level, it's very impressive. But it's even more impressive, I think, to Monica and myself, because we've seen her go through the growing pains of being able to get to where she's getting at. And it's not been a quick overnight, like, oh, wow, she finally gets it. It's just been a slow, slow process for her, and now it's just – now it's breaking through different barriers that she's never been in. I think having KP as somebody to lean on and somebody to watch and somebody to see how to handle those situations and those type of games is very beneficial. But I think from a standpoint of Sammy, like, when she's got her stuff going on, she's just, like I said, continued to build. She's added velocity. She's added spin. She's figured out how to locate better. But I think the other thing that makes her effective is she is effectively wild. She doesn't always know exactly where it's going to go. And so I think that's always been something that's tough on hitters. But she's just done a good job, and hopefully we just continue to watch her go, because she's a head down, very detailed, focused, and very, very determined to continue to get better. So, honestly, I think she would just say, I did my job. I wouldn't say she would necessarily see it kind of the way some other people saw that performance.
As you might imagine, the Panthers have had to play a bunch of their games so far this season in cold weather. Coach Jacob was asked about, how do you go about preparing your team, whether it's recruits or, you know, who's on your roster right now, to play their best softball in inclement weather?
Start talking about it first thing in the fall. They just say, you know, we got to use it as an advantage, especially when we're in the situation where a lot of times when teams come into our place, it's the abnormal. It's not the warmer weather. It's the colder. And so we take advantage of it. I would tell you this weekend, there was a heater in each dugout. Ours did not turn on one time, and that wasn't because of punishment. It wasn't because let's set the tone. It was just like, it's not something that we talk about needing. And so it's sitting there all week, and not one person said, hey, coach, can we turn this on? Or it was just, you prepare for it. We have kids that have a routine for it. They wear their gloves. They have their, I think we have stock in the hot pocket hand warmers or whatever it is, because I feel like we have – four boxes of them every single game, but that's what they do. They just manage it. They know that if they lose their fingers or their toes, then the day's over and it's going to be a long, miserable day. And so they just work at it. And that's part of our process. And we talk about that being an advantage right away in the fall. So actually, like, I think sometimes we want it to be colder. We want it to be different for the other team. And for us, it's just every day. So,
all right, there you have it. The latest on UNI softball from Coach Ryan Jacobs. Let's go ahead and take this final timeout on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. On Monday, the Texans added two more offensive pieces in free agency, signing NFL.com's top available tight end and the Bills' leading rusher from last season. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero reporting former Cowboy Dalton Schultz is signing a one-year deal worth up to $9 million. The Texans also signing former Bills running back Devin Singletary to a one-year deal worth up to $3.8 million, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Rapp also reporting the Bills are filling their vacancy at running back by signing former Patriots back Damian Harris. And Cam Newton will be back at quarterback on Tuesday. The former Panthers quarterback and 2015 MVP announced on social media that he'll be throwing at Auburn's Pro Day. Newton last played for the Panthers in 2021, but appears ready to resume his NFL career. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Roger from Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. We've been servicing cars and trucks for over 35 years, and our customers know us for low prices and quality work. From oil changes to brakes to transmission work, we'll get you back on the road with confidence, and we won't sell you a repair you don't really need. So if your car or truck is not running as it should be, bring it to Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on West 10th between Jefferson and 218 in Waterloo.
He flew fighter jets in two wars and taught you how to drive a car. He fed everyone on the block but never shared his secret recipes. And every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Cam Newton's one of the more accomplished quarterbacks we've seen over the last decade. He won a Heisman Trophy and a national championship at Auburn, was drafted number one overall by the Panthers in 2011, led Carolina to a Super Bowl appearance, even won an MVP. Despite the successful track record, he hasn't played since 2021. But the once dominant quarterback is currently trying to change that. He announced plans to throw today at Auburn's Pro Day. He's a unique talent, and he's only 33. But it's been an extended absence from the game, so we should temper our expectations. Could Newton get a chance with a quarterback star franchise? Maybe, but when you start to look at the landscape of the league and everybody wants a young quarterback, taking into account Cam Newton's recent body of work, well, the days of Superman dominating the NFL may officially be behind us. But he gets a pro day today, and it might be his last chance to show he can still play in the NFL. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. They say you can't have it all. The incredibly versatile Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves otherwise. With a collection of top-of-the-line models, each groundbreaking in their own right, they take turns turning heads. There's the versatile GLC, the optional third-row GLB, the powerhouse GLE, and the agile GLA. Also, the brilliantly cutting-edge Mercedes-Benz GLS. Each SUV boasts the seamless technology you expect from a signature Mercedes-Benz vehicle with the category-leading safety innovations your family deserves. From MBUX, voice-activated technology, to pre-safe collision response that initiates passenger protection measures in a matter of seconds, each of these SUVs is in a family that's built to protect what matters most, your family. The exceptional 2023 Mercedes-Benz SUV family. Test drive one of the impressive models at your local dealer. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader 1650, The Fan.
You know, through the tournament games, she is 19 for 33, 57% from three-point range in our Big Ten tournament and now in this tournament. I mean, she has just been outstanding.
That's Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluter talking about guard Gabby Marshall, who has just been in fuego from deep. Ever since the Big Ten tournament began, like Coach pointed out there, here's a little bit more.
We've been playing together so long that I think the belief we have in each other is just astronomical. I mean, I think every time any of us shoots the ball, it's going in. And we tell each other, keep shooting, and we believe in each other all the time. And the coaches believe in us to keep shooting. And if one person's in a slump, the other person's going to pick them up. So that's just what we're really good at. And I think our team chemistry on and off the court helps with that a lot.
Along with Marshall pointing out the sharing of the ball playing a big role in shooting, she also says, as you might imagine, that she's been gaining confidence in recent weeks. She's really been quite the X factor, as David Eicholt pointed out when he joined the show earlier today. Thanks again to David for joining. Cubs baseball coming up tonight. Spring training baseball, to be specific. Two of those before opening day here on The Fan next Thursday. Cubs Royals, coverage begins at 7:55. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.